Good morning. It's time now for the Tawas United Methodist Church service from Tawas City, here on the Bay's Best, WIOS.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Tawas Methodist Church. We're located at 20 East M55 in Tawas, Michigan, and you're welcome to join us for worship Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. We're broadcasting live this morning from our sanctuary. I'm Chris Kapler. I'm the pastor here. We're so glad that you joined us for worship here in the sanctuary as well as online. You can join our live broadcast at WIOSradio.com, by radio at 1480 AM and 106.9 FM. You can also watch our live stream on Zoom, Facebook, and YouTube. The links to these are accessible at our website, tawasmc.org. That's tawasmc.org. This morning, I'd like to point your attention to the flowers under the cross. There's two this morning. We've got the Klinos, Chuck and Kay, celebrating their 51st wedding anniversary, and the Tetleys, Rob and Margo, 64 years together. Praise the Lord. And got it a little bit out of order. Please take the registration of attendance pad in your pew, and please sign that. Let us know you're here, and pass it on to your neighbor in the pew. Thank you. Our weekend schedule begins with our Saturday's men's morning prayer group at 8:30 and casual worship at 4 in the afternoon. We had a good group yesterday afternoon. Sundays, we have 9 o'clock Sunday school, and we have our 10 o'clock worship service. And we have some important ministry needs. Our nursery, just a clarification on this, you know, the 9 o'clock nursery help, if you want to help in nursery at 9, you can still come to church at 10. You don't miss church. I thought that was important. And 10 o'clock, if you're serving the nursery, which is desperately needed, we hope that you will attend church the night before, because we don't want anyone to miss worship. And then on our hospitality needs, the hospitality table, the visitor's table out in the gathering area, if you would like to serve there, that would be a great ministry, a good way to connect with people visiting the church. And then our youth program, today is September the 10th, so we're going to meet the youth at 4 o'clock. These are students ages 10 and up. Monday, September 11th, just a reminder, our ladies' Bible study will not meet. They'll meet on the 18th, and they're going to start studying the book of Joshua on the 18th. Our Tuesday, we have our prayer ministry at 5 p.m., and Wednesday, sanctuary choir at 5:45. In the book study, we're going to have an introduction to The Gathering Storm. It's a book that's been ordered. I think 10 people asked for copies to be ordered. I ordered a few extras, so if you would like a copy of this book, you'd like to join our group on Wednesday, it's going to be a great study, The Gathering Storm. And then Monday the 18th, which is a week from tomorrow, a finance committee will meet and the church council will meet as well. We plan a membership class, 3 Saturdays in October. It's not choose your Saturday, it's come all 3 Saturdays. Just want to make sure you understand that. 10 a.m. till noon. And then this is Stewardship Month. Our theme is Giving as Worship. And we will have an opportunity to make our annual pledge for next year, 2024, at the end of September. So please be praying about that. We believe that all of our gifts, financial gifts, service in various committees and so forth, are all a result of our interaction with God. What would God have us do for His glory? We are planning I'm really excited about this, a new picture directory. And so the dates, pictures will be taken are in October, later October. And you'll have more information about signing up for that coming up pretty soon. Just wanted to announce the Bayshore Camp Family Fun Days. This is one day, September 30th. It's free of charge. Doesn't cost anything. You can find more information out at their website if you want to jot that down in your bulletin right now, or call our office and we'll have more information as well. That website that they have there is got lots of information. So it's going to be a fun day for all different ages. And of course, Bayshore Camp, they're always trying to motivate children to come, ultimately to come to their summer camps. So they'll have a lot of fun things for children to do. I just want to remind myself to tell us a big thank you from Clara Boland Elementary School. Clara Boland School continued the backpack program during the summer, and our church donated lots of food. And they said that they would have run out by mid-July if we hadn't donated the food that we did. And so they're very grateful for our church and the things that we gave them this summer. So thank you for you who donated food to those red wagons out there. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Sean.
Please stand. Let's sing. Jesus, the very God of me. Hymn number 175. Oops.
Oh, I'm on the wrong song.
Come Thou, Almighty King. Hymn number 61.
Outreaching nation, a nation that's shown brotherhood to a lot of people. So they're suffering right now. So please lift them. It's a lot of nations that are suffering, but Morocco is suffering right now. I want to lift them up in prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll begin with silent prayer. Father, as always, when we come before you, we need your help. We need your Holy Spirit to teach us what to pray and even sometimes pray for us when we don't know what to pray. So we come this morning, Lord, just asking for you to fill us, to guide us in our prayers, and to even pray through us. And this morning, Lord, we lift up those people in the nation of Morocco as they suffer the after effects of this terrible earthquake. We also remember to lift up our own nation, Lord, as our nation suffers greatly. We probably don't realize how great the suffering is yet. It may come much later, but our nation, our cities are in chaos, Father, and we need your help. We need a general revival, a turning back to God. A remembrance of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, reading of the scriptures, because Father, truly, we are suffering a great famine in this land, a famine of the hearing and the reading of the word of God. May we not starve. God, guide us and direct us in all we do. We pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. young Christian moment, like I invite the kids, come on. Today we're going to talk about being thankful. Yeah, we're going to talk about being thankful. You know, when somebody does something nice for you, we try to say thank you, don't we? You ever say thank you to anybody? You mean thank you for the time that you said thank you? Yeah. Can you think of a time that you said thank you? Yeah. It's like the magic word, isn't it? Like we learn when you're your age, like we learn the two magic words, please and thank you, right? And if you can say please and thank you throughout your whole life, boy, it's going to bring a lot of good into your life. Now, aren't there times when somebody does something nice for you that you'd like to do just a little bit more than just say thank you? Like, what was the use? Are you okay? You got something?
Yeah.
I got your head. Oh, come on. Oh, you made my day. Just put your head there. Okay. So, maybe you like to write a card. Sometimes we'll write a card and some might sign and say thank you. That's a way to give back. It really makes someone know that they did something nice for you. Jesus, he taught us some interesting things. He said, if you do something nice for somebody else, it's like doing it for me. Maybe you never saw that in Scripture. He said, if you give, for example, if you give some food to someone who doesn't have food, if you give clothing to someone who doesn't have clothing, he says, if as much as you do it to even the least of these, so our church does a lot of things for different people, so that's linked to it for Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells us that when we do things for other people, they'll say thank you to God. And when people do things to us, and we want to give back to them, we can not only say thank you, but we can do something. So what I'd like to ask you guys to do today is when you go home, think of someone that has done something nice for you. And do something special for them. Not just say thank you. You can say thank you, but do something more. Maybe write them a card. Maybe give them a gift. Can you remember that? Okay. Let's pray. Father, we lift up our young people and we ask that you'll help these young people grow to be people with grateful hearts and to change the world through gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen. You look all better. You're all healed up now. Okay, go here. Go in the front. Okay, but be careful, all right? Don't trip and fall. Probably the best children's sermon ever.
Let's dance in the name of Jesus, the hero of our name.
verses 10 through 15. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your partnership with them and with all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
What is that indescribable gift? We're going to come back to that in verse 15 at the end of the message this morning, but probably it's a good idea to keep that in your mind. God's indescribable gift. What could that be? There are many churches around the world that teach about giving from the perspective that if you give, God will give more back to you. You ever heard that? And of course, the more is money, position, opportunity, those kinds of things. If you give, God will give back to you. So giving as worship, part two, the unexpected goal of giving should, I hope, give a different perspective on the goal of giving. I should start by saying that God does give back to us, although there's some things that we should know about that. Out of my personal experience, God has given me more material blessings in response to my giving, with two very important conditions, that are necessary, I believe. And, you know, a condition is a boundary. This will happen if this happens first. And the condition for God's blessing, and maybe even material blessings in our giving, is first of all that we don't expect it. We do not give with the expectation that God will give back to us. We give out of other motivations, which are talked about in the verses just prior to these verses here. But that's important. When you give without expectation. You give to God. You give as worship. You give, as we talked about last time, because we value God. God, I value you, and this is one of the ways I want to show you that I value you. So that's a kind of a first condition. Another condition is that the extra material blessings that God may give to us are for fulfilling God's will in the world and his purpose to bless other people. We're blessed in order to bless other people. So we are not the, you know, the sole receptacle of God's blessing. We're not living a life to just be blessed. That's not a Christian perspective on life. A Christian perspective on life is we are blessed to bless others. That's important. Now, so we don't give in order to get. And if we do give in order to get, that may totter on the brink of greed. And greed is a bad thing, you know. I know there was a movie made in the 90s and 80s that said greed is good, okay? You might remember that movie. That's not a biblical thing, right? Okay, that's not a biblical thing. Greed actually is not good. So greed ends with more greed and disappointment, actually, when you don't get what you want or what you expect. The unexpected goal of giving as worship is sprouting up of thanksgiving. This is the unexpected goal of our giving. And that unexpected thanksgiving comes from various different directions. It's not just the giver who becomes more thankful, it's many others. So giving produces thanksgiving. Verse 11 in our text today says, you will be enriched in every way for your great generosity. which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. So there's Paul is just laying it right out there. You know, as you give, people are going to thank you. And Paul is really saying, we are going to be thankful. Who's Paul in relation to the Corinthians? The Corinthians who are giving. Paul is the person who considers himself like the planter of the church in Corinth. He's like the spiritual father. And he's going to be very grateful. He's going to be thanking God that his disciples or his students or the church that he influenced to get started and grow, that they're doing the things of God. It's like John, who wrote not only the book of John, but the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. John said, one of my greatest joys is when I see my students walking in the truth. So Paul is the same way. He's saying, one of my greatest ways of giving thanks to God is when I see Christians giving to God. And Paul mentioned in chapter 8, and the beginning of chapter 9, the importance of generous giving. And he mentioned another church, the church in Macedonia. Now, you know, from reading the book of Acts and the book of Philippians, that the church in Macedonia is primarily the Philippian church. That the city of Philippi is the main city in Macedonia where the church was started there. And so Paul's saying those people over in Philippi, they're generous givers. And by the way, you Corinthians, you're known as generous givers. People know that about you. And these people in Macedonia are poor people and they're in need. And by the way, you promised a gift to the people of Macedonia. So right now there's some people on their way from Macedonia that are going to visit you. And I want to remind you of this because that gift should be ready when they get there. If you have to go around and collect and scrape when they get there, that'll be embarrassing. So I want you to be ready when they get there to give that gift so that it's done in generosity. Who are the people who will give thanks? Well, let's just take a look at it. The givers. They give and they thank God for the opportunity to give, and we'll talk more about that later. The administrators of the gift, they're thanking God. Oh, God, you know, this is going to help the ministry. It's going to help provide for the ministry. So the administrators of the gift are giving thanks to God. And those who receive the gift, the beneficiaries, they're going to give thanks to God because a desperate need was met. And then there are also those who may not be administrators. They may not be the receivers of the gift. But they're the people who hear about it. And they also testify. This is not gossip. Okay? This is different than gossip. Okay? This is all true. It's all giving praise to God. It's all for God's glory, and they're telling people about the wonderful gifts. In other words, they're so impressed with the generosity of the givers, they will tell others about it. And I don't think that's gossip. It's not destructive or missing the point. It's just giving glory to God. And that's really important. Because God is both the motivator of our giving and the one praised in the process. In fact, it's God's giving first that motivates our giving. And we give as we come to know what it costs God to give. You ever think about that? When you're putting that money, check, whatever it is in the offering plate, when you're coming over to the church to help out in teaching or cleaning or repairing, do you ever think, I'm doing this because I'm grateful to God because it cost him a lot to give me this Christian life. It cost him dearly. Think about that. It's interesting. Back in the earlier, we didn't talk about the pre-verse 10 verses where Paul says, God loves a cheerful giver. But we talk about that from time to time. And when Paul teaches, he says, you know, give out of a cheerful heart. Well, how do you have a cheerful heart when you give? You're relinquishing your hard work, your hard-earned time or money or prayer time. And when you think about prayer, giving prayer, I mean, prayer takes a lot of time. You want to sit down for 5 minutes, usually it's 15 or 20 minutes when you get done with it. Or if you want to sit down and pray for a half hour, usually you're taking an hour out of your day to do that. That's a gift. And God appreciates that. But why? What motivates us? How can we be truly happy? Well, it's because we're responding to God because he paid a big price. So there's three ways that I want to look at our thankfulness in giving as we worship God. And they're up on the screen. Number one, something motivates us in our giving. Something. And everybody's different. Whatever motivates you, you know about that. I don't know what motivates you, but something motivates your giving. And that's a good question to ask. What motivates my giving? God, show me. If I don't know, show me what motivates my giving. Someone benefits from your giving. And that's more or less obvious, but you might say, you know, who's going to benefit? You know, at Christmas time, we have those Christmas gifts, the Samaritan Purse gift boxes that go all around the world. And we know there's going to be children in different countries who are poor, who are going to get those, and they're going to benefit. Sometimes we don't realize just how great the benefit is. If you've been there and you've seen the children when they open those boxes, you'll be amazed. That's a great benefit. And they not only get those boxes, they get the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, someone paid a great cost to make your giving meaningful. What do you mean meaningful? Yeah, my giving, when I give to the church, when I give to God through the church, that has deep meaning, abiding meaning. It's not just the keeping of a promise or a covenant relationship we have in the church, but there's meaning there. There's symbolic meaning. There's real meaning. Like, God has done something for me, and it's motivated me to do something in reflection of what God has done for me. And so I'm taking part in God's purposes. So let's look at those three. I remember being surprised when I started on the greatest ministry challenge of my life, raising money to be a missionary. I can't tell you how many people came up to me and said, "Why do you want to be a missionary? You got to go around begging for money from all these people." And you know, that kind of hit me in the heart. Like, I don't want to go around begging for money. What's this all about? And then I got into my missionary training, and I listened to a man who taught a course on fundraising, raising your support to be a missionary. And he said, "Don't ask people for money. You'll never get it." I thought, well, how am I going to be a missionary? He said, "Who owns everything?" God owns everything. Ask God. You can tell people of the need. You can thank people for their generosity. But don't ask them for money. Ask God for money. Well, that was a new concept to me. It's called vertical asking. You ask God for money. Then you bless people. And you thank people because they gave. But you ask God because He owns everything. You can't do that without faith. You cannot ask God if you don't have faith. But if you have faith, you can say, "God, how much do I need? What do you want me to do with it? Will you give it to me?" Three simple questions. How much do I need? What do you want me to do with it? Will you give it to me? And I was shocked. You know, I'll never forget the time. It was probably 2005, November. Our support account was below where it needed to be. It was quite a bit below where we needed to be. And I got a letter from the president of our organization, and he said, "Chris, I want to write a letter for you. And I want you to write a letter with me. We'll put them together and send it to all of your supporters. And maybe you'll get some boost in your financial support." And I said, "Great, okay, if the president wants to do that, I'm all for it." So we wrote letters, and you know, in that month, $50,000 came into our support account. It shocked me. I thought, wow, that's beyond what my wildest dreams. How could that happen? But what I didn't know was the next month, I think it was actually early January, it might have been late December, our son Johnny fell into a manhole in Kazakhstan and didn't have a cover on it. It's snowing out, and somebody put a piece of cardboard over the manhole, and this little 5-year-old boy is running around chasing a cat, hit that cardboard and went down. 3 meters, crushed his skull. And all of a sudden, we found ourselves in an emergency situation. And we didn't know if he was going to live or not. And we said, "Well, we better all get on the airplane and go back to America." And we did. And we were there for some months. And he had terrible surgery. And he made it through okay. And, you know, that $50,000 came in very handy. and we didn't even know the need. God knew the need, he provided for the need. In that case, he provided even before the need arose. But we have been asking all along, Lord, you know our needs. Provide for our needs. And so I share that, not only the joy of my testimony, but I also share that if any of you know someone who is considering the possibility of becoming a missionary, please don't discourage them because of the money that's needed. Encourage them to ask God, who owns everything. If God has called anyone to do anything, God will provide the money for it. Money should never be a problem, because God owns everything. So when you think about giving, it's a good idea to remember to whom you are giving. First and foremost, you're not giving to a church. You're giving to God if you're giving by faith. You worship God and you give what you believe God asks you to give. Now, all of these truths about giving can be incorporated into worship. You know, our motivation, those who benefit, and the cost to make it all possible. So let's talk about that first one. Something motivates your giving. There are many ways to think about giving. Here's just five that I came up with. Why do I give? Okay, one person might say, I'm just giving back to God. A little bit of the blessing in my life. Maybe you've heard that. Maybe you've used that. God's blessed me. I'm just giving back to God a little bit of the blessing in my life. Another person might say, I'm giving out of duty because it's the right thing to do. Okay, duty. Another person, I'm giving to make me feel like God accepts me. If I give, then maybe God will accept me. Maybe there's some guilt. Maybe I've done something I'm not happy about in my life. Maybe I've had a track record in my life that I feel guilty about, and I want to get rid of that, and I give to maybe make God accept me. I'm not saying these are right or good. I'm just saying these are possibilities. The fourth one, I'm giving to try to manipulate God so that my child or my grandchild will be successful in life. I'll never forget, I was in a foreign country and there was a Buddhist temple. There were all these mothers at the Buddhist temple. They were praying at the Buddhist temple. Why? Well, it was final exam time of year. And they wanted all their kids to get good grades on their final exams. So I go to the Buddhist temple and pray, hoping for good scores. They're trying to manipulate God. Some people are giving because they feel guilty and they think that maybe the bad feeling will go away if they give. People are motivated by various things in various ways. And that's why it's important to give out of worship to God, to get it straight from the beginning. God, I'm giving because, as we learned last week, because I value you. I want to treasure you. And so I want to give value to you. Psalm 69, verses 30 and 31, it's written by King David. Psalm 69, verses 30 and 31 says, I will praise the name of God. This might come up on the screen. We'll see. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hooves. Okay, this is David writing. He lived in an era where worship was more or less defined by sacrifices. Physical animal sacrifices. They had grain offerings and different things like that, but this was a big part of worship. And David says, and he says this in other places and with different phraseology, but he says, you know, it's this praising the name of the Lord and thanking him, magnifying him. This is more important than the material offering that I give to God. That's interesting. You know, in every society, virtually every society around the world, blood sacrifice, whether a Christian or not, Jewish or not, blood sacrifice is quite common. And people often give this sacrificial giving. This idea is that if I do this, I'll be acceptable to God. God wants everyone to know that no matter what you do, you cannot be acceptable to God. You can't. There's only one person who is ever acceptable to God, and that's Jesus Christ. And if we are acceptable to God, it's only through faith in Jesus Christ. That's where we find our acceptance with God. It's not with what we give or how we give or how little or how much sacrifice. All of our giving to God is gratitude to God. And in fact, gratitude really describes a Christian. So this is David's way of saying the heart of praise to God is most important, more than what is given. And he's highlighting motivation for giving. He says, begin with praise and worship God. If you don't begin with this genuine valuing of God, your material life is going to be less meaningful. But if you truly value God, then your material offering will also mean very much to God. Now, I'm really glad to start out with this idea of worship, of giving as worship, because so often you hear churches say, we need more money, or you need to buck up, or, you know, come on in and get more money, we've got to do some things. And I don't like to set a budget and say, we've got to meet that budget, you know, with our money. What I'd like to do is say, worship God, give as God leads you to give, and believe me, we'll do ministry. We'll do ministry. Whether we have money or not, we'll do ministry. Because the ministry will take place because God will make it possible. And God, I've never seen God leave a ministry unfunded when it was a ministry doing his will. So there's three motivations I'd like to share. We're motivated by the gospel, and I'll talk about that in a second. We're motivated for generosity, and we're motivated to cheerfulness. We need a church, and we need churches across the land who are cheerfully giving to God, generously to meet the needs of the world. Can you imagine a nation, for example, can you imagine a nation that had no entitlements? Zero. Can you imagine a nation that had no social security? Zero. Can you imagine a nation where the church took care of the needs of the people and the church taught families, even non-believing families, to care for the members of their families? Probably can't imagine that. That's the goal of the gospel. Don't depend on the government. At some point, the government will disappoint you. And when it does, it will disappoint you greatly. Depend on God. Everything will be taken care of. So the gospel, remember the gospel. Some people ask what the gospel is in the Bible. That's the Bible, you know, teaching the scripture. That's true to a degree. But really, the gospel is very simple. It's a very small piece of information. Jesus Christ loved you so much, he died for your sins. And by the power of God Almighty, he rose from the dead. And if you put your faith in him, your whole faith and trust in him, and what he's done for you, you will not only live a new life, but you will be with him in eternity. That's it. That's it. That's the gospel. That's the core of the Christian faith. And if you go beyond that, it gets a little murky. But if you can hold on to that as that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's a motivating thing. It really is. It's a motivating thing. Jesus did that for me. I want to do more than just say thank you. And then for generosity. You know, we have the example of Jesus when the woman came and she was weeping tears on his feet and drying them with her hair and anointing him with oil and all of that. And Jesus says, she's doing a great thing. And then he looked around at his disciples and the Pharisees and he said, those who have been loved little will love little. Those who have been loved much will love much. Look at this woman. She's loving me much because her many sins have been forgiven. Well, we've all been forgiven a lot of sins, really. I mean, we have every reason to love much. We have a great God, and so we should be cheerful. When we give, we should be cheerful. benefits from your giving. All who are involved in the process have reason to be thankful for giving, regardless of the size of the gift. Why? Because it comes from a humble heart. Because your gift meets real needs. Because it advances the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it opens doors for discipleship. And because it results in people praising God. Won't you be happy when you see other people praising God because of your gift? I think it's a thing to be happy about. Recently, our church, I mentioned this in the announcements, but in case you didn't hear it, our church received a thank you from Clara Boland Elementary School. They provided summer food for the backpack program, and we collected and gave that food to them for the program during the summertime. We do it during the school year too, but this was for the summer. So they expressed their gratitude to the Taos Methodist Church for the summer donations that kept them from running out in mid-July. So there's an example of Thanksgiving right there, right in our own community. It's not really from those who received it. Clara Bowen was an administrator of the gift. They were the administrators, and they were thanking. And that's what Paul's talking about. Multiple people thanking, giving thanks. And as people begin to give thanks, ultimately, through our example, they will start saying, oh, this really comes from God after all. So number three, someone paid a great cost to make your giving meaningful. So it helps to have a grasp on the cost that Jesus Christ paid when he gave himself on the cross. Philippians 2, you'll remember, that's a famous chapter about Jesus, he came from heaven. He became a human being. He humbled himself to be a slave to the point of dying on the cross. And because he humbled himself all of these levels, God exalted him to the right hand of God. So Philippians 2 talks about Christ leaving his place in heaven and lowering himself to the most humiliating level for our benefit. For our benefit. The Bible also talks about, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. We talk about the cross, and usually around, Easter time, we talk about the ugliness of the cross and how painful it was and that sort of thing. But here, Jesus endured the cross, which, it talks about the physical endurance that he had to do that day. But I think it also talks about the penalty that he received in terms of our sins and the sins of all who came before us and the sins of all who will come after us. All of those were placed on him. That's a heavy weight. It's really an unthinkable heavy weight. And he endured all of that. So verses like Philippians 2 and this other one that I mentioned, they expose the fact that Jesus paid a lot for our redemption. He really did. And he gave freely. He didn't have to do that. He gave freely. And he said to his disciples, freely you have received, freely give. There is a reciprocal nature to our giving. It's not just initiated from us. He gave first and we give. We give because he first gave. And we love because he first loved us. Now, getting back to that last verse, verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What do you suppose that gift is? You might remember how you came to Christ. I mean, it doesn't matter. You may have been like me. You might have been baptized as an infant in the church. You might have gone through confirmation. And you might be a regular church attender participating in the church. I'm not talking about that. No matter who you are, if you're a Christian, if the Spirit of God is living in you, there was a time in your life when you said, Jesus, I'm yours. And Jesus said to you, you're mine. And you knew it. That's called assurance. You might remember how you came to Christ, or you may have heard a testimony of someone else who came to Christ. I heard a testimony this last week of a man. He's a Christian leader in America today. He grew up without a father. And it scarred him. It was not easy growing up without a father. So he made a vow when he was a young man. He made a vow that if God ever were to give him a son, he'd never leave his son. It was a great, noble vow to make, but he wasn't as serious as he thought he was. The thing is, he became a drug user and a drug dealer. And his wife did too. He got married, and his wife, they had a son. But they were drug dealers. And he said that just to get their kicks, sometimes they would be smoking something, and they'd get their little two-year-old with him, blow smoke in his face, and watch him stumble around because it had that effect on him. And what a wicked thing to do, really. How wicked can you be? Well, he found out his wife was sleeping around on him, and he decided he was going to kill her, and he was going to kill the man that she was with, too. And by God's grace, he met his brother the day that he was going to do that, and his brother said, "Don't do that. You're just getting too much trouble. Just leave him. Just leave him." So he said, "This is how wicked I was." I said to myself, "Well, I'll just go home one more night. I'll be with her one more night, then I'll leave." So he went home. And he was smoking some drugs with his wife. And she turned to him and she said, "What about your son? What about your son?" Those words hit him like a sledgehammer. And it was as if heaven opened up. And the high that he was feeling from those drugs just drained out of his face, out of his neck, his body. Went out of his feet, he wasn't high anymore. And he fell on the floor with his face to the floor and he said, "God, don't kill me. God, don't kill me. God, don't kill me." And he got up, but he was a new man. He was born again. He went to work the next day and he's yelling across the yard where all the workmen were. He says, "God is real. God is real." And his boss said, "Go home until you change. Come back to normal." But while he was leaving to go home, he saw the man who had witnessed to him about Jesus Christ, and he shouted, "God is real," to that man. And that man came over to his home, and he said, "You know, if God has changed your life, you need to start studying the Bible. Can I come by your house and study the Bible with you regularly?" And he said, "Yeah, that'd be great." So this friend, who was a Christian, came by his house regularly, and one day he said, "You know, you've been coming to my house teaching me the Bible, and I poured all my drugs down the toilet, but the problem is my friends in the neighborhood, they see you and they think you're working for the police, and you're gonna tell the police who's doing the drug dealing around here, and they're gonna kill you." The man said to him, "Well, if Jesus could go to the cross and die for me, I can die for you." Folks, that's a person who knows the cost that Jesus paid and is giving out of gratitude. His story reminds me to ask each one of us, when did you realize how grateful you are to God for His indescribable gift? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, overwhelming love for us. And if there's anybody, Lord, who doesn't know that love, may it be true today that they know, that they come to know and receive your love and to give to you out of worship. Jesus' name. Ushers, would you please come for the morning offering? This is the second Sunday of the month, so we will have the noisy offering. So please. please bring the chain that I'm offering you. As well as the back.
Again, to God be the glory. It's hymn number 98.